All right, John 14.
Jesus discourse on the night he was betrayed. These are the events following the Last Supper and following the washing of the feet, and his instruction concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit, his teaching to his disciples, his comfort and his encouragement to them, that while he was going away, that they needn't worry about that, because he was going to send them, he was going to ask the Father, and the Father would send them another comforter, someone like himself, but someone who would not ever leave, someone who would abide with them forever, verse number 16. And then he described that when this Holy Spirit came, when this comforter came, that they should know him because he had been with them. But now they would know him in an intimate way because he would be in them. And we come to the 21st verse today, John 14 and 21. And Jesus' instructions concerning obedience. Now let's read from verse 21 and down through verse, I believe we'll read through verse 24 or 25, we get there. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, I have more to tell you. The Holy Spirit will teach you those things, and he will also bring back to your remembrance the things that I have taught you. All right, now, there's a very important principle in this passage, and one which very few people understand. I don't think very many have given much thought to it. But it has to do with the manifestation of Jesus in a believer's life. It has to do with the manifestation of God to the individual believer. Now, when Jesus uses this word manifest, he says in verse 21, that I will manifest myself to him. Judas asked the question, not Judas Iscariot now, but the other Judas. Judas said, well, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And then Jesus goes on to describe how that will take place. Now, for purposes of our discussion this morning, we better find out what the word manifest means. How would you interpret or define the word manifest? To show, made known, reveal. Not so much come into being, because you can have it in being but not be manifest. Made aware of, to make real, to make known, uncover. Okay, all good definitions. Jesus said, if certain conditions are met, I will make a person aware of me, I will reveal myself, I will uncover myself, I'll make myself real, I will show myself, I will give a clear experience with me. Now, Judas said, well, how is it that you're going to do that for some of us, but not for the world? Now, that would seem to say that not everyone is going to have a manifestation of Jesus. Not everyone is going to see him clearly. Not everyone is going to have a revelation or an uncovering or a showing of Jesus. Not everyone is going to experience him in the way that he's describing that. Now, what's the difference between those who do and those who don't, according to what Judas said in verse 22? What's the difference? All right, of the world. Judas himself said it. Jesus did not correct him on that, obviously responded to his question. Those that are of the world are not going to have a revelation of Jesus. They're not going to have a manifestation of him. They're not going to know him in a clear and discernible way. Now, look back up in the 17th verse. When Jesus promised the Comforter, he said, The Comforter would come and abide with you forever, verse 16. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, what? Cannot receive. Why? Because it, what? It seeth him not and knoweth him not. Now, he's describing here that the world is not going to participate in spiritual things. The world is not going to have a revelation of Jesus. How do you get a revelation of Jesus? How do you get an uncovering of who Jesus is and what he means? How does that come to pass? All right, but according to verse 17, look at the analogy there. How does that come to pass? When you receive him, what happens to you? Yes, but what exactly takes place? What happens, Joe? The Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you. Is that not right? Okay. When you say, Jesus, I want you to come and live in my heart, what person of the Godhead comes? The Spirit of God. Jesus is still seated on the right hand of the Father, but Galatians 4, it's on the back of your bulletin today, Galatians 4 and chapter 4 says that he sends the Spirit of his Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. All right? The world does not receive the Holy Spirit because it did not receive Jesus. And isn't it the Holy Spirit that gives a revelation of Jesus? Look at the 26th verse here. What's the Comforter going to do? Okay, in addition to teaching us all things, what else is he going to do? He's going to bring what things to our remembrance? The things that who said?
Jesus
said. All right. Now let's go over to verse number, let's go over to chapter, let's see here, let me find the verse. Chapter 15 and verse 26. Now we haven't discussed this yet, and so I wouldn't expect you to know it, but let's just flip to it right now. See this verse, some of you have read it, many of you have. But when the Comforter is come, now this is a continuation of the same teaching. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, same Holy Spirit, right? Which proceedeth from the Father, what will he do? He will testify of me. In order for a person to have a revelation of Jesus, to have a manifestation of Jesus, what person of the God is he going to deal with? He's going to deal with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that is going to come, and he has dwelt with you, but now he's going to dwell in you, and he's going to give you a manifestation of me. He'll testify of me. He'll tell you about me. He will explain to you about me. He will bring back to your remembrance all of the things I said. He's going to teach you about me. And in order to receive the Spirit of God, in order to receive this Comforter, Judas said, how is this going to happen that you will do it for us, but that you won't do it for the world? What is the difference between us and the world, or what should it be, according to this passage of Scripture? Is Jesus a respecter of persons? No, but there are some conditions to receiving his benefits. Now, I have dealt with believers. I shouldn't say believers. I've dealt with individuals who have not been able to get a hold of who Jesus really is. I've talked with them. I'm talking about longtime church members, many of them. And they do not really know Jesus. They don't know, they can give you all, well, he's the Son of God. He died on the cross. He's the bringer in the new covenant. He's the bread of life. He's the resurrection. He's the way and the truth. They have all of the mental knowledge, you see, and all of the intellectual understanding. But if you talk to them just a few minutes, you know that they do not know the Lord. They have never had a manifestation of Jesus. He has never revealed himself to them. He's never been manifest to them. Why is that? Well, they're not born again. Why aren't they born again? They're still part of the world, and they have not been obedient to his word. I've heard people pray. I've prayed with them. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to really know you. Lord, manifest yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Oftentimes you will get them. They will be praying like in the hospitals or when things are really, you know, not going so well. And Lord, I want you to show yourself to me. And what they really want is his benefits, but not him, you see. Now, Jesus made a promise here. And this promise, I think, is a very, very important one. If you do, and the promise also is a good thermometer, I think. If you do not have a manifestation of Jesus in your life, if he has not been uncovered for you, if you feel, if you know that you don't really know him, you know, you understand what I'm saying when I say know him. On a personal basis, you know him maybe as a historical character, but you don't really know him like you know me or your wife or your husband or someone else. He's not a person. He's a character, but he's not really a person to you. The reason for that is that you've not been born again, that you have not been obedient to his word, and he will never show himself to you until you decide to meet the qualifications and meet the conditions. Now, what are they? Verse 21, it's right out of the chute. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yes, but what commandments am I supposed to do? According to this verse, what commandments are you supposed to do? No, just read the first two lines in your Bible. What commandments are you supposed to keep? What commandments are you supposed to keep? Read them. Read them. Read what it says. Now, just think a minute. It's not that difficult. Which ones are you supposed to keep? No, just read the first two lines in that verse. It's very simple. Those that you have. Thank you, sister. How are you going to keep them all? You think you're going to keep them all? You are dreaming. You are dreaming. Paul could keep them all. Chief among sinners, he said, I am. How are you going to keep all the commandments? That's why Jesus came, isn't it? To fulfill the law for us. He kept them for us, and we have faith in him, and that means that we've kept them. But you see, to say, well, I put my trust in Jesus, now I go out and do whatever I want, you have never met Jesus. You see, your heart's never really been changed. What I want you to see from that verse, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, you can't keep something you don't have. You can't keep something you don't know. And a great many people are frustrated because it's, I can't possibly do it all, and I don't really know what God wants me to do. It's as simple as this, as far as I'm concerned. Do what you know. Start there.
Yeah.
Impossible to keep them all. Well, I can't, I don't know all of the law. And so I don't know all of God's commandments. And so I don't really know how to keep them all. Well, name me one that you already know. Name me one you already know. A number of you were talking about them. What is it? Believe on the Lord. Believe on Jesus. I love one another. I mean, you could stop right there, couldn't you? Yeah, and say, well, let's not be too concerned about all these over here. Let's get these primary ones taken care of. Let's decide. A great many people in our churches are trying to live under the old covenant. They're trying to keep all of the laws. They're trying to do this and this and this. Not only the Ten Commandments, but all the rest of the ancillary laws that were coupled with that. They're trying to keep all of those laws and then have not yet obeyed the first commandment, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and minds and soul and strength. And the second one, which is love your neighbor as yourself. I think the devil confuses us many times when he builds up this great big scenario of we've got to do all of this. I had a lady tell me one day that there'd be no way that she could really ever come to God until she first had read all of the Bible, understood it all. I'm talking about serious. I'm talking about very sincere. Understood it all and knew what was expected of her. I took her to 1 John chapter 3 where it says that the commandment was that we love Jesus, believe on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and love one another as the Lord gave commandment. And that was the whole thing. She got saved. But see, she hadn't been taught properly. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. All right, now let's take a little different tack here. How do we demonstrate that we really love the Lord, according to this passage? John?
Keep his commandments.
by doing what he says, by keeping his commandments, brother. I can't hear what you say because your actions speak so loud, it drowns out your words. Oh, yes, I really love the Lord. But all of those that say, Lord, Lord, unto me, are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do what? Who obey the will of my Father. All right? It is not the words of our mouth as much as it is the words of our mouth in harmony with the actions or the deeds that we do. He that loveth, he that obeys my commandments is he that loves me. I brought a message some years ago on a Mother's Day, and it shook some people up in the way that I said it. But basically the message was this. If you want to honor your mother, don't buy her a bouquet of roses on Mother's Day, but obey her every day. If you want to show that you really love your husband, don't cook him a favorite meal once a year on your anniversary, but have a spirit of obedience. Children, if you want to show that you love your parents, then obey them. Don't bring them home a ceramic ashtray from school and expect isn't that the way our kids have been taught? If you really want to bless your parents, you bring home this ceramic ashtray so that they can have a place to put the leftovers from their cancer sticks. Is that right? Stupid, isn't it? And we would be further ahead, wouldn't we, if we taught our children how to be obedient. Now, how many of you are parents in here? Most all of you are parents. What do you really want from your kids? Don't you want their obedience? Don't you want their obedience? I don't want my child. I don't have any this young anymore, but you all understand what I mean. I don't want my child to stand there and defy me. And then 5 minutes later, jump up in my lap and throw his arms around me and say, oh, Daddy, I love you. Your actions speak so loud. You don't. You love yourself. And what is it that you're trying to squeeze out of me while you're here on my lap? Isn't that the way it works? We demonstrate our love by our obedience. And obedience is an act of love. The one who was perfectly obedient was Jesus, obedient even unto death. And he was love itself. Now let's read the verse again with that in mind. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Well, now that's a full mouthful, isn't it? Who's going to be a recipient of the love of God? Those who do what? Those who do what? What is it? Someone in here said it. Love who? The Son. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Isn't that what it says? Well, God loves me. I've just come to him a different way. There are no other ways, are there? There's only one. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So if you love me, you will obey me. Now down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now we've already decided, what words are we to keep? Those that we have. Those that we know, those that we're already aware of. And then my Father will love him, and we, and notice the word we, will come unto him and make our abode with him. When we were studying over in the second verse, I told you that the word mansions, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansion means a staying place or a dwelling place or a residence. That's exactly the same word that is translated here. Jesus said, we will come and make our mansion with him. We'll come and make our staying place or our residence or our dwelling place with him. Who will come? We will come. How will we come? In the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can see in this passage, can't you see the Trinity here? You see Father, Son, Holy Spirit? You love me, my Father will love you, I'll love you, we will come, dwell in you, I'll send you the Comforter, I'll pray the Father, he'll send you the Comforter in my name, And he will come and not be with you only, but in you. I will manifest myself to you and be in you. You see how all this fits together? We'll make our abode. He that loveth me, verse 24, not, keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. My children didn't understand when I would express to them. They would say their love, express their love vocally, but the love was not demonstrated. Love that has no action to it is not love. Any more than faith that has no action to it is not faith. Love that is simply spoken and not acted is not love. Now, you can talk about it until you're blue in the face, but it is not love. It is something other than love. I don't know what we'll call it, but it is not love. True love is demonstrated in obedience. Jesus said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Now, I'm going to give you a simple little analogy. You got a 12-year-old. And you're teaching your 12-year-old some responsibility. And you know it's important that you do that. And so you've got this 12-year-old taught how to take out the trash, wash the dishes, clean the table off. This is male or female, doesn't make any difference. Did you know boys could wash dishes? Did you know that? Did you know they could take the trash out? Did you know they could get the laundry and bring it to the laundry room? Did you know that a boy could sweep off the back porch or the front porch or both porches or the sidewalk or what have you? Did you realize that, you know, was acceptable behavior for a young lad? All right, now, every time it comes time for this 12-year-old to take out the trash, you have to continue to remind him to take the trash out. You always get a mouthful every time you ask him, aren't you going to take the trash out? He gives you a mouthful. He gives you this awful expression on his face. Oh, mom, you're such a ogre, you know, you're such a witch, or whatever it is that they... You know, that comes off an expression of the face. Now, tell me who that little boy loves.
Himself.
You say, Pastor, that's really harsh. He's only 12 years old, and what can you really expect? I'll tell you what you can expect. You can expect him when it's time to take the trash out and to do it cheerfully. Now, that would be obedience, wouldn't it? And that would express love, wouldn't it? Now, the same relationship exists between us and our Heavenly Father. Every time the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, how do you respond? Every time you hear the Word of God, how do you respond? Do you want to attack the teacher? Do you want to attack the preacher? Do you want to find all sorts of reasons why it ought not to be done at all, or at least not done now? Who are you loving in that situation? You're loving yourself. You see, you really have made yourself a god, and you're not really walking in love towards your Heavenly Father. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you and asks you to do one thing or another, whatever that circumstance is, whether it's to forgive or whether it's to give a helping hand or whether it's to express a word of witness or whether it's to cook a meal for someone or go cut somebody's grass or slip a $20 bill in somebody's... maybe a $100 bill, slip a $100 bill, and so that would be five times more difficult to obey than a 20, into somebody's mailbox anonymously or something like that. How do you respond when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to do something? You know how you respond. How do you respond? Are you quick to act, or are you hesitant? Do you resist? Would you like to find a way around it? Would you like to find a way out of it? Would you like the Lord to find some other way to do that so that you don't have to do it? And if that's the case, then I believe Jesus would have us know where we are and whether our love was what temperature our love is at. Does that make sense to you? You understand what I'm saying? You can determine your own quality of love by the quality of your obedience.
So from having the nursery, we've learned, and I've also taught from the pulpit here, I believe as well, that the degree a child obeys his parent to the people who are his in authority right over him, they'll never obey God to any greater degree.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's the main
right.
reason for discipline. Teach a child to obey you as your parent, as your authority. But if they don't, they'll never obey, you know, God's authority, who they can't see.
The best thing my parents ever did for me was not give me life. The best thing that my parents ever did for me was taught me obedience. Because I never could have come to obedience to Christ if I hadn't been taught to be obedient to my Father. And it was very, very important. And it is true, I sensed in my own family as they were growing up, especially after I met the Lord, that to the degree that they were obedient to me and submissive to me, that they were obedient to the Lord. And I could always tell where their relationship with God was at that particular moment. I could tell in any given day, I knew whether they were praying. I knew whether their spirit was open to the Lord. I knew exactly where they stood with the Lord based on how they stood with me. I can tell about you the same way. Did you know that? I know where you are. I know where you are with the Lord. You cannot be at odds with me and be in fellowship with God. I mean, it can't work. It just can't work. And I know where you are, and I know that the Lord shows that to you dads. You sense that in your own families. You moms the same way. And I believe that God shows that to those that have responsibility in that way so that we know how to pray, so that we know how to minister, that we know what's going on in our families, know what's going on in our churches. I know which ones of you, if I've had contact with you, I know which ones of you have peace with God. I know which ones of you are having fellowship with the Lord. And I know which ones of you are flowing in the Spirit. And I know which ones of you are having difficulty too. I mean, if we have contact. And I have an opportunity to have fellowship with you at that period of time. Did he do that to Israel over and over and over again? Isn't that what the Old Testament is all about? To a whole nation, he showed himself. And he sent Hosea. You remember the story of Hosea is a beautiful story. He took this very good man and asked him to go marry a whore. And then after he had had a couple of children to this harlot, she left him and went back to her whoredoms again. And it seems that while he was perfectly willing to let her go, he still had a love in his heart for her. And God spoke to him and said, go get her where she is and bring her back. And he went and got her out of another man's bed and brought her back, brought her home. And through that, God used Hosea to preach to his people. That's the kind of heart I have. I married you when you were a whore, and I knew what you were. And I loved you, and I produced with you children. And then, after I showed myself to you a faithful and loving husband, you went back into your sin again, and you left me, and you found yourself other men. And I came and got you out of in the act of your harlotry, and brought you back again and again. And again, and again, and again. That's the kind of God we serve. But he does respect hearts, doesn't he? See, I think that's what Ron's trying to say. He doesn't respect persons, but you must meet his conditions. He's not a pussycat. And if you meet his condition, he doesn't respect what color, flavor, or anything else you are. He loves everyone, but he will not simply pour out he's made his grace available to everyone. But a person has to make a decision as to how he's going to accept it. And the things that you're discussing over here, you girls, I want you to see today that you can fool some of the people some of the time and all the people some of the time, all that sort of thing. But you can't fool God any other time. He knows where your heart is. And Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. John, in his first letter, said, that if a man says he knows God and doesn't keep his word, what is he? He's a liar. You can't say I know him. Well, yeah, I know him. I'm fine. Me and the Lord, you know, we got this good arrangement going. You hear good old boys talking like that, you know. Yeah, me and the Lord, we have an arrangement. Well, I know what arrangement it is. You have a ticket south. To where warmer places. I know what the arrangement is. See, you can fool yourself even. But you can't fool God. I fooled myself 37 years. He that loveth me not, obeyeth not my word, keepeth not my word. Yeah, I think what Jesus is referring to are not those outward manifestations as much as he's referring to an inward manifestation here. If you really know Jesus, it doesn't matter what denomination you're in, he will come and make his dwelling place inside you, and he will manifest himself to you. Now, you may not have an experience in all of these other things that you've described, but as far as knowing the Lord, you will know him, and you know that you know that you know him. Anyone who has, I've had folks take me to task, because I will say to a person, after I question them a while, I'll say to them, you're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You haven't been born again. And they'll say, well, you're judging me. No. Jesus said you look at the sky at night and tell what kind of weather it's going to be the next day. Why can't you discern the times? He also said that we were to make discerning judgments concerning people, never to condemn them, but that we were to be able to discern. How are you going to know whether you should cast your pearls down unless you know whether you got a swine or not? I mean, didn't he say, don't give what's holy to the dogs? Well, there are men, see, would say, well, you shouldn't be making a judgment as to whether that one's a dog. Well, I have to make that judgment in order to prevent myself from being disobedient to the Lord by giving him what's holy. If you understand the difference. There's a difference between judgment that condemns a person and judgment that makes a discerning. How do I know who to witness to? If you say to me, oh, yes, I'm right with God, and I just leave you alone because you said you were, and if I would begin to witness to you, what am I doing? I'm judging you, aren't I? Well, don't judge me, lest you be judged in the same way. See, that's the kind of spirit that you deal with oftentimes. But we must be able to discern. And there are occasions when you're going to have to deal with folks who believe that they're right with God, who are not saved. And the Bible gives us many, many, many ways of determining whether a person really is born again. If a person has no revelation of Jesus, no personal manifestation of the Lord, he's not born again. I don't care how long he's been a church member. And you know, I found this out about witnessing to people. If you begin to witness to someone who's born again, we had Robert was up at the radio station several weeks ago. One of the radio preachers came in, and he asked just prior to his going on to his program, and he asked Robert, correct me if I miss the story, but he asked Robert, what church do you go to? And Robert says, I go to Water of Life Christian Center. And the guy immediately opened his Bible to John 3 and started sharing the new birth with him. Which would give you an indication of what some folks think goes on down here. I think, you know, they must think we handle snakes or something and don't know the Lord. Isn't that kind of what happened there, right? Now, did that offend you? Those who weren't born again. No one's ever going to offend me by trying to lead me to Jesus. Now he doesn't have the manifestation of the Spirit in the way we do, which is what Richard was talking about a moment ago, and he has some misunderstanding there and some confusion in what he understands the Bible to say. But he had a concern for your heart. He was concerned about your soul, and whether he's wrong or right, he felt that you need it. Now you're a member of a church, and you know, in good standing and all that. And here he opens his Bible and begin to share the new birth with him. I appreciate that. I really do. And if someone who is born again, if you begin to share Jesus with them, if you miss it, you misjudge them, and you sense that they're not, if they are, and you start sharing the gospel, you're going to find out real quick they are. Amen. Because they're going to feed it right back to you. Amen. And you're going to know that they are. You really haven't lost anything. What you've done is met a brother or met a sister. And most people are prevented in their witness because they don't want to offend somebody that's a church member, or they say that they're saved or they're right with God. It wouldn't hurt you to preach the gospel to every creature. Those who have already received it are just going to agree with you and you'll rejoice. Those that haven't will have an opportunity to hear it. So don't ever hesitate to share the gospel with someone who you think may not be saved. If he is saved, he will not be offended that you cared enough about his heart to share with him. If he's not saved, he may very well get offended, but he's the one that needs the word.